Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go.
Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are continuing on with our Sunday School Stories theme for the year of 2023, and we are continuing to bring you new stories every single week that you may have heard if you grew up in church, if you attended Sunday school, or maybe this is your very first time hearing these stories. Hey, either way, I'm excited for you to have clicked the play button and decided to listen in to this episode or watch it. So what we are doing with these stories every single week, we've picked some of the quote-unquote popular stories in the Bible, and we are bringing them to you in a fresh way. And by fresh, I mean that you get to hear people's experiences, testimonies, miracles, and all the things that they've experienced in their own life that can relate to what we're reading here in Scripture. So if you haven't been tuning in, make sure you go back, click back to some of the past episodes so that people can, you know, you can be encouraged by what you hear and people can share their stories with you, and you'll be amazed at what you will hear. So make sure you click back to some of the other episodes, but I do want to have you stick around for this one too, because I'm very excited. This is one of my favorite stories to talk about, and it's so juicy. But before we get to the topic, let me tell you about our guest speaker this week. Very excited to introduce her. So Miss Hannah Parham, she is a Christian author and speaker, and her personal mission is to help women overcome fear and self-doubt so that they can confidently believe who God has called them to be. She actually holds a master's in divinity with a concentration in pastoral counseling and is currently pursuing her PhD in Christian leadership. Y'all, this girl's smart, okay? Smart. Hannah has published two books. Jesus is Bae is the first one, and the second one is The Confessions Project, which you'll be able to share about some here on the episode. And she's passionate about teaching, equipping, and discipling the body of Christ. When she's not encouraging others or writing her heart out, she loves spending time with her loved ones or exploring new coffee shops. So, Hannah, welcome on.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, this is going to be great. I'm excited for it. And now that y'all have heard a little bit about who is going to be speaking this week, I want to introduce the theme for today's topic. You may have already noticed by the title, but we are going to be talking about David being anointed as king. Very popular passage of scripture to be preached from, taught from. And even with that, though, you may have never heard it. So we're definitely going to go through this story today. So with this Sunday school story, you can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And this is where you're going to be able to read of David being anointed as king. Other things happen in this chapter, but we're going to specifically just focus on him being anointed as king. So just to give a little context, Samuel is going to be the one to do the anointing, to anoint David as king. And so Saul is the current king. He's a bad guy, but Saul is a current king, but you know, there's going to be someone to precede him, and it's going to be, or someone to succeed him, and it's going to be David. He's going to come after him. And so, God has given Samuel the assignment to go and anoint the next king. So he goes to the sons of Jesse. Jesse is David's dad, and David has a whole bunch of brothers, right? And so this is where we pick up with the reading. So if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's start in verse 7. So Samuel and the elders, they're coming. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him." Actually, let's go back one verse. So when they came, this is all the sons, all the brothers, they came in. Not all of them, but most of the brothers, most of the sons come. Let's go back to verse 6. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "There remains the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here we see that David is now anointed as king. He is the one that has been selected to be king. So that was a mouthful. There's a lot of stuff in there. But Han, I want to turn it over to you. So you chose this story. Why this story out of all the stories in the whole Bible? What made you want to talk about this story on the podcast?
I liked this story, or I picked this story, because I think right now with our current generation and where we live, everyone is like into having a platform, into sharing the gospel, into like using their voice to share whatever it is that God has put on their heart. And because of technology, we all have, you know, the ability to do that. And I think it just, like you said, one, it's juicy. There's so much to unpack in this particular passage of scripture. And two, I think it's shiny. Like, it sounds cool. Like, okay, we hear about a guy, he's handsome, he's cool, he's popular, kind of, and he's getting anointed as king. Like, that's dope. I want to hear more about that. And so I have always loved David personally. Like, outside of this particular passage of scripture, I really feel like I relate to him in a lot of ways, because he was so emotional and he journaled pretty much all his prayers in time with God through the Psalms. And if you read the Psalms and then read his story narrative, like through 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, I just feel like, man, this man was like, I don't know, David, I can't wait to meet him in heaven, but I feel like he was one of those guys that like wore his heart on his sleeve. Like, he was so talented. He was handsome. He was like really skilled in so many, like, not just anointed to be king, but anointed in other giftings. Like, he was a talented musician, a talented warrior, a talented songwriter, pretty much, for like, as you can see through Psalm. So he's just like, is very, in certain ways, attractive to me. And I feel like we all like that. Like, we're all human and we're all attracted to that cool, shiny character in the Bible. So he's one of those for me. And on top of all of that, to say he was a man after God's own heart. And I feel like he just truthfully, like, he makes Christianity attractive. Like, I feel like sometimes, like, there's always that thing like, oh, if you're a Christian, you're not that cool, you're kind of corny. But like, David was it. He was like the it guy, and he loved God with all of his heart and had no problem telling anybody about him, and even would dance out of his clothes because he loved God so much. So I mean, I think that's like why I really love him and relate to him. And like, it's really cool to hear or read this passage of story, because this is like the genesis of it all. Like, this is the beginning, well, kind of the beginning of just like his storyline. And I feel like the beginning of a story is always really important. So I think this is just like why I picked that.
Yeah, David is like the cool guy in the Bible. He's probably on like everybody's like top five. Like, most people are going to mention David. Like, like you said, he's that guy. He's the it guy. I definitely love his heart for God. Obviously, it's evident throughout scripture, because like you said, this is like the beginning of his story, but we read about him for like forever. But yeah, like, he really, like, I know he messed up, I know he did some things, but he really loves God, like, for real, like, he loved God, and it's so evident. And so, just like you said, the origin of a story, like, the beginning is very important, and I definitely agree with that as we're going through this, because right away, we already see his character. Like, we already see how, like, who he is and how he's already the outcast. He's already like the last guy to be thought about for everything. Clearly he's a hard worker. Like, you know, like, we're seeing these things, which are all really key points to bring up as we go through this story. But it's like, kind of like when you get to know somebody, like going on a date, like knowing about their childhood helps you to understand more about like why they are the way they are. I feel like this is a snippet into us really understanding like who David is. And yeah, I for sure want to meet him when I get to heaven. Like he's going to be like VIP list, like Jesus. And
Oh, for sure.
Now David.
I need to be in the VIP lounge with David.
No, like, David, he's probably playing a harp or something. Like
he's definitely up there doing that for sure.
Yeah.
He's probably leading the angel choir or something.
No, he's like full choir director mode. No, for real. It's going to be lit. I'm excited about being there. You know, I'm good down here till I need to be, but he could call us home any day now. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, like Paul said, it was like, I'm going to live life down here. Like, if I got to be out, like, what is it for to die is to gain, but to be here is for Christ. Like,
yeah,
I must be
yeah,
all
to
day.
Live is to live as Christ and to die is gain. He's like, all right, as long as I'm here, it's all about Christ, but he can take me. Paul was ready. Paul is on my VIP list too. I need to see.
Oh, for sure. So is Peter.
Oh, yeah. The OGs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I
so
have a couple of girl characters that I want to talk to you too, but yeah.
You know, I encourage everybody, get your list together. You know, it's just like, it just builds excitement about getting to heaven. Like, obviously, we're going to meet Jesus. Yes. And I'm going to be with him forever, ever, ever. But if we get like break time or something and I get to go meet some people, meet and greet sessions, you know, I have a list. I'm ready.
Oh, for sure. Lunch and learns.
That's great. Like story time, like Paul like pulls out like pieces from when he got shipwrecked or his chains or shackles. I don't know, like something.
Give oh yeah. Something. I'm gonna have my like fish and loaves and gonna be like grilling out listening to that story.
No, I'm excited about it for real, for real. So with this story, right? Like with David, there's a lot of things that you can point out just in like 7-8 verses. What are some of the verses that stick out to you about this passage?
Yeah, so there were like so many things. I know we keep saying that, like, wow, so much to unpack here, but there really are, because like these were just 6 verses. And like, I know I'm kind of like answering the question and not answering the question at the same time, but if you read, this was like if you've grown up in church, you've probably heard this story like really frequently. And I have heard this story and read this story so often, but something that I feel like the Lord pointed out to me before I read this was, or while I was reading this, that I haven't ever like picked up before, is if you look at verses 1-5 before these key verses 6-13, you know, Samuel's asking, or basically Samuel's mourning over the fact that Saul is no longer king. And he's really upset about it. So upset that God has to literally tell Samuel, like, stop mourning. I need you to, like, I have other plans in place. I need you to get it together. Like, I got, like, we're on a move. Like, I need you to like get in line with my pace. Like, I have already picked out someone else. Like, forget the old guy. I have somebody new for you to anoint. And, you know, he's like, well, what, how am I supposed to like go do that? What if Saul hears about it? Like, I don't want to get killed. And, God is so cool, because God basically gives like a strategy for Samuel, like, oh, just tell him that you're going there to like, you know, give a sacrifice and make a sacrifice to the Lord. And when I first read that verse in verse 2, I was like, God, you telling Samuel to lie? And did you say to do that, but he didn't give the sacrifice? And that's when I realized, like, no, like Samuel was asked to give a sacrifice. So he said in verse 3, invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you which of his sons to anoint for me. And so Samuel did as he was instructed. And so if you skip to verse 5, Samuel says, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Purify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then Samuel performed the purification rite for Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice too. And so this was like really eye-opening for me, because like before there was an anointing, there was a sacrifice that was laid at the altar. And that joint really like was like, oh my God, like before David was ever anointed as king, because we have always heard this like passage of scripture is so like popular in the church right now. It's like, you have to be anointed before you're appointed. But I was like, man, God's giving me like the prequel of that. It's like, no, there has to be a sacrifice before there is an anointing. And so like, this made me think applicably about my life. Like, okay, if we want to be anointed by God, like, what are we willing to sacrifice for God? Like, what are we willing to put down on the altar and to give to him because of what the call is on our lives to do? And so that was just like really interesting to me, because it's just, it demonstrates that there's an order to God's process. Like, there was a purification that was required by everybody except for David. His father was was purified. His seven brothers were purified, and Samuel did the purification ritual so that David could be anointed as king. And so that was just like a really huge standout for me, because if you want to get like preachy about it, it's like, wow, what are you willing to like lay down at the altar before God even anoints you? Like, are you willing to sacrifice your plans? Are you willing to sacrifice what your idea of what you think God has called you to do? Are you willing to truly submit to the call that God has on your life? Are you willing to sacrifice relationships, friendships, or career paths for the call that God has on your life? Because there's a level of consecration that is required before can do a work in us. Like, we must be willing to submit our lives to him before there's like a partnership with him to do the thing that he's called us to do. And so that was like a huge thing that like stood out to me. I don't know. What do you,
that is,
have you ever like,
no, that is so good. Like, I think just like you, like, I think I've always just known that that happened. And I think I read it and was just like, oh, cool. Okay, cool. Like, yeah. And I think our focus is so much on this part of David being anointed that I've honestly just like skipped that. And so y'all that are listening or watching, that goes to show you that like the Bible will always show you something different every time you read it. You can read the Bible 40 times over and still see something different, still yes. learn something different. It will still hit. It will still apply to your situation. So that's how the living word of God works. Okay.
Yes. It's alive and active.
Yes. Active. But that is so good. And yes, I like being preachy, so we're going to be preachy. I love that you went there, because yes, we talk about the anointed before the appointed. Hallelujah. But yeah, they're like, everybody loves anointing, right? And that's like, first of all, I'm going to just break down that word, because I think it's a really churchy term that maybe if people aren't churched, they're like, girl, what is that? So a physical anointing is like with some sort of consecrated, set apart oil that's used normally in certain rituals or ceremonies. And it normally is poured like over the head. And it's a symbol of being set apart, being appointed for something. It's a symbol of essentially God's presence with you. And so that's the easiest way to break it down when people are talking about, man, that person's so anointed. It doesn't mean that they literally like have oil dripping over their head, but it's like a symbolic term of like God's presence, man, is so evident with them. Like, God's spirit is so evident with them. You can see that they carry God's presence. Like, it's so evident in their lives. So that helps to understand it a little bit. But yeah, we love throwing that word around, right? And it's not necessarily a bad word. Like, it's great. Like, if somebody calls you anointed, or you know, you see anointing on something or someone, it's awesome. But there is always, always, always a behind the scenes process that most people do not see. And it can be frustrating when, going back to what you said earlier, as far as everyone wanting the platform, everyone wanting, you know, I want to be the next, I don't know, whoever you think is the coolest Christian teacher, speaker, preacher. Yeah. But we don't know what's happening behind the scenes, right? Like, anytime somebody's released a book, I guarantee you there was at least one night that they stayed up like with their eyes crossing, trying to finish, right? Like, anybody that had you've ever seen graduate with a degree, there was some long nights, early mornings, hard tests. Like, there's always a process behind things. And I think that David's life really shows that in this situation and all the situations to come. But it's like, man, are we really, really about it? Like, are we really willing to go through that process? Like, the anointing, there's going to be, like you said, laying at the altar, there's going to be sacrifice. And it may not be everything at once. It may be just the sacrifice of your finances, or just the sacrifices of your plans, your dreams, your desires. But here's the thing, like, we have to really get to that understanding that we have to lay something down. Like, I can't just sit up here and just say like, yeah, being a Christian is awesome and great. It is. It truly is. But I'm not going to sugarcoat and be like, no, you never have to give up anything. Like, you just keep doing you. And, you know, no, that's not how it works. Like, I'm sorry. And the Bible, Jesus tells us that time and time again, like, lay down your life, take up your cross. He told, you know, the fisherman, leave it all behind and follow me. He told the rich man, sell all your possessions. Like, we see it time and time again through scripture that there is some sort of sacrifice that is always required. And God has always required sacrifice of some sort from Old Testament all the way till now. Thank God we don't have to do like bulls and goats and rams, because that's one, that sounds dirty. That sounds nasty. Two, there wouldn't be, I always tell people there wouldn't be any left, because I would have sacrificed them all with just my sin.
Yes, exactly.
But either way, there's always been a level of sacrifice that's required, and it's no different now. It's just a different form of sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. And like, that was something that like was like huge for me. But even in like, we all, well, if you're not familiar with the story, I love the scripture. Like, we can't talk about this passage of scripture and not talk about verse 7, where it says that God looks, man might look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And I'm like, that is such a like powerful like verse, because I love that. Like, God really cares about our integrity and our character and who we are as individuals. Like, he cares more about who we are than what we do. And I think that's just like really big here, because sure, all these other guys may look on paper like they fit the mark, or they might match what the selection that's should be a king. And even Samuel, like being as anointed and called as he was, thought that some of these sons, like, surely this was the guy, God, like, surely this is who you have in mind. And it just goes to show you like that passage of scripture that says, God will take the foolish of the things of this world to confound the wise. Like, he will always look at things that we may or may not see. And I feel like that's huge for us, because how many times do we judge things by their appearance, or judge things based on what it looks like, because we're unwilling to kind of even pray about things and really seek God about what he says about it, or we just are too quick to judge it and make an assumption that it prevents us from like truly living in the fruit of what would come if we really did lean into and put on our spiritual eyes and not see things through eyes like a flesh. And that might be just churchy terms of like, what would it look like to see things the way God sees them and not the way that we would naturally see them in our own way. And I feel like that's something I'm still learning. Let's be honest. Like, I'm still learning not to make assumptions about people, places, things, or whatever, because of just what it looks like. And when I say the word, what it looks like, that doesn't just mean like people, like what does someone look like, but literally what does the process look like? How many times am I unwilling to not do something because it seems difficult or it seems hard or whatever? I think like here, it's like, I love what you shared earlier, because we may have this passage of scripture, but the scripture is alive and it's always teaching us something. Cause like, even though in this particular passage, it's talking about the true physical nature of these sons. And in this particular verse, it's saying, you know, Samuel really looked at the physical like composition of the man, and God was looking at the heart. But that's why I love the passage, because you can take what's said in the word and apply it to your life. And here I would, if I was like journaling, this would be my application point. Like, how many times do I look at anything in life that is based on its appearance or what it looks like or what I think it looks like, and God has completely different plans? And so that's a prayer point for me, to continually to seek God and to just make sure that I see things the way he's like, my prayer point is, help me, God, to see things the way that you see things. Help me to see people the way you see people. Help me to love people the way you love people. Help me to like judge decisions the way you would judge decisions. And so that was like a huge point, that it's like, you can't talk about this passage and not talk about this particular verse.
Yeah. And like you said, that verse is pretty popular, and you know, everyone's like, don't judge others. I think with that verse too, it shows me that God will bless people that you personally disqualify, you know, like on your paper, they don't match up. They don't qualify. Yeah. They don't deserve this. And he's like, oh no, that's exactly the person that's going to get it. Like, you, and, but that's also encouraging for you too, that like other people may count you out, but God knows like who you are. He knows who he's created you to be. He knows what y'all got going on behind the scenes. He knows the private victories and the moments that y'all have had together. And other people just may see it later on and they're like, oh, didn't expect that one. You know, I remember someone told me that there was like, there's going to be people in heaven that you didn't expect to be there. And I was like, yikes. Like,
it's true though.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for it because I'm probably on somebody's list too. So they're like, she made it. How?
I can't wait to meet them. I'm like, dang, you kind of
Right.
lit.
Right. It's like, okay, I see what God was doing. Okay. No, but yeah, very encouraging passage of scripture. And that definitely ties into what we know David to be, a God after man's own heart. It's like David really was known by God. God knew, I know his character, I know his heart. I know he's gonna make some mistakes, but I know who he is. And that's exactly why he appointed David and not the rest of them. And I love that if you even go back to verse 6, when they came and they looked on Eliab, one of the sons, he was like, oh, it's for sure him. He's like, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Like he was like, oh yeah, like you know, like I know
He was
exactly who
set,
he
like he really thought like this was the one God.
And God was like, no, boo, like that's not it. Actually, it's none
Right, keep moving.
of it. Yeah. And so, man, that just really shows us that God's ways are truly higher than ours. Like he is so much more sovereign than we are. And we really, like for real, we have to really trust his plan because we see 1D kind of view, right? Like we just see this view here. He sees kind of like the bird's eye view where he can see the full picture and he can do more than we can do. He sees more than we can see and he's in more. He's more sovereign than we are. And so, well, we're not sovereign at all. He is sovereign, we are not. And so with that, we have to really trust. Like if he's saying one thing, then that's we have to trust that. That can apply to friendships, relationships, jobs, whether we think, man, this is for sure it. Like this is exactly what, and God's like, no, like I've sent you somewhere else. I've assigned you to something else. We really have to trust God with stuff for real.
Yes, agreed. And like even along with that, it's like don't ever count yourself out because something that's also interesting in this passage is like in verse 11, all of this is basically happening and David has no idea. Like, can you imagine being in the middle of a field doing your, shepherding business? And there's basically a whole party ritual, like a whole ceremony going on at your house, and you have literally no idea. Like, they're going through purification rites. They're getting like viewed up and down by the prophet Samuel to see if they're like the one that God wants to pick. I mean, all this is happening without David's awareness. And so it just goes to show you it's an encouragement to us because there's things that we know nothing about that God's in the back end working out on our behalf. Like, we don't know what God is preparing already. Like, I love, another Psalm 23, which is a popular psalm, like he prepares a table for us, or God always goes before us. And I even love the level of urgency that the prophet Samuel had when it was referring to send for him at once. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives. And as the youngest brother, someone who naturally just like in that culture wouldn't be the end up like the it. Son, like, usually that's reserved for the first son. So the fact that all his older brothers, this is countercultural at the time, all his brothers have to now wait for the youngest brother. And there's this flip. And I just what I, that's what I love about the kingdom because everything that we think God wants to do, it's always different than what we expect. Like, if you want to like be blessed, you have to give. Like, if you want to see more, you have to give more. And so it's like to whom much is given, much is required. And so it's like really interesting in this context, like God is doing something countercultural to the point where his brothers, David's brothers, have to now wait for him to even eat, which is like not normal at that time. And so it just is super encouraging for me, like no matter like where you are in life, like no matter what you're waiting on God for or whatever you feel like you're going through in this season, like God is still working something out on the back end that we have no awareness of. And that's why I feel like it's so important for us to lean into trust and like why we have to trust God with our lives and our plans and whatever he's doing in us because of an example just like this. Like, we have no idea. Like, David had no idea. He was literally taking care of sheep and there's a whole party going on at his house. And not only that, but like, I feel like even just prophetically, like, I feel like there's a lot of people that may be listening or watching that are maybe feeling discouraged. And I just want to encourage you and let you know like God is preparing a place for you. He's doing something that you have no idea about, and that He there will be a level of urgency for your arrival, like how the Bible says that the earth groans waiting for the sons and daughters. And like in the same way, the earth, like everything that you have been waiting for, like there's a waiting that people have, like people or purpose or whatever, like there's a waiting, there's a level of urgency that what you have is required for such a time as now. And God has so much that he wants to do through the body of Christ. Like I really feel like there's a love, there's another move of God that he wants to do through this generation. Because if you think about it, David was the youngest generation. And so like even that prophetically to me is like, man, God wants to do something through the youngest. And like there's even like in Paul, when he said to Timothy, like, do not despise being young. Like yeah. There's something that God wants to do with the youngest, and that it will be countercultural and maybe look different, but the earth is waiting for us to rise up and to come. And like, there's another, I think, anointing that God wants to do in the earth now. Like he wants to anoint people and sons and daughters to be stand up and be the rightful people that they've been called to be. Because as, you know, believers in the New Testament, what we're told that we're now co-heirs with Christ Jesus. So as co-heirs with Christ Jesus, there's another anointing to kingdomship that God has for us. And so that's just like really exciting and encouraging for me.
Yeah, no, I love all of that. I am 100% an advocate that like, man, God can do so much through our generation. And anybody can look and see the hunger that's there. Now, I feel like sometimes our hunger in this generation has been displaced to other things that aren't Christ, but everyone is still seeking God, whether they know it or not. And it's like, man, we can just get like people on fire to understand that God will use absolutely anybody who is willing and who he has called and who he has qualified. Like nobody can disqualify you. Like, man, like we could set this world ablaze 100%. And I love that you just brought up the fact that like the youngest, the most like that one, you know, like the most outcasted one, the least thought about, clearly he's there to even invite him in. They're like, oh yeah, there is one more. Like him? You want me to go get him? You know? Like imagine David walking in, it's like, what y'all doing?
Yeah, it's like, what is going on in here?
Yeah. And it's like,
y'all, why you ain't tell me people were coming over?
Yeah, like, I mean, he comes in like smelling like sheep, you know, like he's like, oh, there was a whole event and I wasn't even invited. Interesting. But like, I wonder, it doesn't talk about, and I know David's like humble and everything, but like, I wonder if he just like, once he got anointed, he just looked at his brothers like, and y'all didn't even invite me. Like, look at you.
Probably.
He's yeah, just for like just a quick like second, time. Like, no, but I actually, so what?
He's like, that's what y'all get.
No, for real. Like, that would have been me. But I actually just read in a book just yesterday. It's Silent Seasons by Heather Lindsay. And one of the things that she mentions in the book, she said, referring to this portion of scripture, is the fact that you don't, like, have to always be present for God to still bless you. And it's like, basically, like what God has for you is for you. Like, you don't even have to be there and it'll still be there for you. Like, you don't even have to be in the interview and like, God will still give you favor for that job. Like, you don't have to be in a certain setting, look a certain way, do a certain thing. Like, what God has for you, who he's anointed, who he's appointed, like no one can take that from them. And so I think that was just really cool to be able to see that and kind of like pull that out of the story, because I think so many of us, like with the culture that we're in, it's like hustle hard, grind hard. You gotta, you know, have 27 streams of income and 3 LLCs and all this stuff. I'm like, I'm tired. No. But you know, like it's that mentality of just like, you have to do all the things, you know, like the culture will say like you're self-made and all this other stuff. And I'm like, no, you're not. Like, yes, you put work in, but like you literally couldn't have done any of it if you were dead. God kept you alive. You're not self-made. Like, you're not self-accomplished all by yourself. But it's just letting us know, and it gives us reassurance. It gives us kind of some relief to realize that like, I'm gonna do my part, but God's gonna show up and do his, and I don't have to be like, I don't have to have my hands in 10 pots to get all these blessings. Like, I can just do what I need to do, stay obedient to Christ, do my duties, my assigned duties, and I know that God's gonna come through. And so like, I just want to encourage people with that, because I think so many of us, we strategize and plan, and those are great things to do. And there is a time and place for that, but you have to have room for God to work. Like, you have to leave room for faith. You have to leave room for favor to show up. Like, if everything is done according to exactly how you want to be done, how do you see God in it? You know, like, yeah. If David was, I feel like this was so much more impactful because David was out in the fields and not a part of what was already happening. But the fact that David was still chosen, even though no one else saw him, like, it just makes everything so much more powerful. And so the same thing goes with our lives too. Like, God's going to put us in position to show us, like, you didn't even have to be here. And I still gave you favor. Like, I still anointed you. And like, there's nothing anybody can do about that. Like, period. Sorry.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Along with this verse too, I think this is something kind of popular, but this part just sticks out to me. The fact that David was out working while the anointing purification ceremony process was happening. As we mentioned earlier, we already see his character. We already see him show up, but man, like, just so faithful to his work, right? Like, he's just out there doing what he has to do. Shepherd was not like a super highly esteemed job. I tell people, like, it's the equivalent of like maybe someone being like in waste management, like a garbage man. Like, obviously somebody needs to do it and they got to pay good money. So I may have to call them up one day, but you know, just if I need a little extra cash. But it's just kind of the idea, like, if you tell someone like, oh, I'm the garbage man, like, no one's gonna be like, wow. Like, unfortunately, that's just not the response in our culture. So shepherding was kind of the same way. And so once again, it just kind of paints the picture of who David is within his family. And but I just love to see how consistent he is to his work and how faithful he is. And he actually goes on to be a shepherd. That's a whole nother thing, but I guess we can bring it up. So David's anointed as king here, but he doesn't actually see the throne as king for like another like 13-14 years. And so the whole rest of the time he continued to be a shepherd. Like, that's crazy. And I think that does have to be brought up. I wasn't going to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up. It's the element of just like the process from anointing to, I guess, appointing, or like actually seeing it, right? Like, that gap of knowing that you're anointed, but knowing that you still have to go back and do the last thing that God had you doing before you see that next season. That can be tough. That can be frustrating at times when you're like, yeah, okay, we did this whole ceremony, like, why am I not king, you know? And David actually went on to serve, and it was hard for him, you know? Like, there was a lot that was involved with David becoming king. And like, even like threats on his life, like, it was no easy feat for him to become king. And so what I see in all of that, and all of the things that I just said, is just David's consistency and his faithfulness. Like, he just kept showing up. He kept doing what God told him to do. He kept being a shepherd. He kept like working towards the throne, essentially, or believing that he would be king, even though like there were threats on his life and he was fleeing for his life and all this stuff. Yeah. And I would just want to encourage people with that too, is just like, once you are anointed for something, once you've been given that promise from God, once you've been given that revelation, that prophecy, that word of knowledge, whatever it is, and now you know, okay, like, this is what God has for me, it's important for you to stay consistent in the process. It's important for you to stay faithful and allow God to continue to develop you and mature you as you work in that and operate in that.
That is so true. And like, something that like I was reading commentary about this particular passage, some commentators say that there's a possibility that they didn't know what was going on here. Like, this was all happening and only Samuel and God knew what was happening. Like, the actual like pivotal, like the weightiness of this particular moment. And like, when I thought about that, I like went back and like read some of the scriptures, and I'm like, you know what? They might be right. Cause the next thing I'm looking at is like, even I think it's the part where it's like, then Samuel said, neither is this the one the Lord has chosen. And like, there's so many different like specific, I guess, sentences that are shared. But if you, for me, when I'm looking at these sentences, nowhere does Samuel say to Jesse, like, hey, I'm here to pick the anointed king. Like, hey, I'm here to anoint the next king. And it's like, really, really interesting because, like, even in like verse 6, Samuel is thinking, like, the Bible is sharing what the thoughts were of Samuel. Like, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, like, don't judge. Like, so this is almost like inner dialogue that we're being able to read about in this particular passage of scripture. But even Jesse's like, okay, walk in front of Samuel, because they went through this, like we said earlier, they went through this sacrifice, they went through this purification process. So they know that there's some divine, like, royal anointing that's going on. But again, they may or may not necessarily know that this is for to be a king. And so, to go on your point, it's like David was working. And I feel like even in this moment, like, to me, like, when you were talking, I feel like, wow, there's something to be said here, because we should care more about the anointing and the, like, the presence of God that we are now carrying than we are whatever it is that is the destination or where we think God is taking us. And so, like, even in, like, when David got anointed, he stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of oil and anointed David's head with oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And it's like the Holy Spirit, like, posed this question, like, what do you care more about? Do you care more about what you're getting anointed for, or do you care more about what the anointing now provides you, which is a deeper level of my presence, another, like, the power of my presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that will now rest upon you? And it's just like what you were saying, like, what do we care more about is, like, that doing versus being. Like, are we caring more about the hustle and the works? Are we more work-minded? Or are we more, like, I would say the word is, like, be-minded, meaning, like, do we recognize that who we are as individuals is we are already, like, not the best version of ourselves per se, because, like, we're always going from glory to glory, but God loves us in this, who we are right now. He won't love us any more than who we are in this moment. He won't love us any less. And so it's like, if we actually recognize our identity in Christ, which is sons and daughters of the Most High King, and God is anointing us for whatever it is to prepare, whatever he's preparing us for, because it's not for the accolades. It's not for to be the, like, even though God likes to use those things, like, I want to be really careful, like, how I'm sharing this. I think it's more so the posture, like, are we doing it because we want to be number one? Like, God will put you in number one spot, whatever, to use you to help expand his kingdom. But why do you really want it? Do you want it because you love the way it looks? Do you like it because of how successful it looks? Do you feel like your identity is in the position? Or is it because there's a purpose that God has for you to have that position for, like, so that his kingdom can be expanded, so that people will come to know him more? And so it's like the motive of something is really important. And, like, I love what you shared about how David was brought in working. And like you said, like, being a shepherd isn't necessarily the most esteemed position, but he was faithful and he was consistent with what he was doing. And he did it in a way that he was able to have his own personal relationship with God, to where this was just another level of what God was already doing on the inside of him when he was out in the fields. And so it's like, when we look at it from the lens of, like, relationship and not necessarily position or success, like, this was just another level and a next step of what God was doing in the life of David. And so that was just, like, really, I don't know what you were saying made me think of that.
No, that is so good. And it's challenging, right? Like, that challenged me just even hearing that. The question, you know, like, that you brought up as far as, like, why do you want this? What's your motive behind this position? Because going all the way back to the beginning, you talked about how so many people want the platform and the stage and then this and then that. One, they don't really know what they're asking for. I'll include myself in this, right? Like, we don't always know what we're asking for. But we also, like, haven't really thought about it in its totality of, like, what's involved. Like, I think we just see, like, oh, that looks cool. Those pictures look so awesome. Like, look at all the likes and the comments. But it's like, did anyone address the fact that, like, ministry was happening, you know, like, which is the whole point of this? Yeah. Like,
right.
We do need to talk about that. Like, what is your why? And that's something I've actually been processing with the Lord recently myself is just making sure of just always analyzing myself, analyzing my motives. What is my why behind hosting anything, behind having people on the podcast, behind anything that I'm doing for the Lord? Like, I need to make sure that I am out of the equation. Like, this is for Him. Now, if obviously I'm in the equation, I guess, because He's using me, but in the sense of my fleshly desires and all that is out of the picture, like, that's not the motive here. That's not the intention behind this. And that goes back to what we see here in verse 7, as it talks about, like, man sees the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. Like, God can see, and we see that, and we're like, God knows my heart. And I'm like, yeah, that's the problem. Like, He sees our heart. Like, we are not the most, you know, we're not perfect. We're not the most humble people, whether we want to say that we are or not. There are times when we can be honest, right? Like, we're like, man, I would love to be a king, just to wear a cool crown and, like, sit on a throne, not, like, care for God's people, not because you want to, you know, like David did, like, you know, consecrate them and lead them into proper worship and lead the people to God. No, we just, like, want the title. We want the status. We want all that stuff. And I would say that's one of the reasons why the other brothers weren't selected, because maybe they were going to have that mentality. Maybe they were going to have that motive, but He knew that David wouldn't get caught up in all of that. And so, yeah, really good point. Very challenging for us to constantly ask ourselves, what is my why behind this? And if you can answer it without a bunch of I, then maybe you're on the right track. But if you can answer it and it's starting to get more, well, I would like this, and it's less about God's people and it's more about what it looks like for you, and it's less about, you know, how the ministry will go forth, and it's more about, like, man, people are gonna like this on Instagram, you know, we have to check ourselves. And this is not coming from a place of judgment, because I've been there. I'll be completely honest, I've had to make those same questions. I've had to cancel things, I've had to walk away from things, because I was like, my motive was not right, like, at all. And here's the thing, like, I'm gonna just put myself out. I'll put myself on blast, right? Like, sometimes it's even in our gifts, like the gifts that God has given us. So we think, like, oh, like, it's fine. Like, for me personally, I love to serve. I love serving. I've served in some capacity for almost forever, like at church to some degree. And because of that, like, I know that this can obviously be used for God. Like, obviously it's something that I enjoy doing, but I've had to pull back from things because I realized I was serving just for congrats, just for an applause, just for someone to say, do you know how much stuff Steph did? And I was like, oh, okay, this is dangerous. Like, we're in a dangerous place now, because I'm not doing it for God anymore. Like, yeah, there's a piece of me like, yeah, Lord, I want to serve you. But, like, most of it is like, no, I want someone to say, good job, Steph. Like, I want someone, you know, to, you know, announce it over the Sunday morning service that Steph, you know, whatever, right? Like, that's just being real. Like, I've had moments where I've had to step away from the gift that God has given me, from the things like leading worship. I've led worship for a long time, but there's times when I've had to not leave worship because I was just waiting on people to say good job, instead of like, wow, you ushered us into the presence of the Lord. No, I'm like, no, just tell me I did good. You know, like, and that's just me. And that's just me being completely honest and transparent. But it goes to show us that you can be anointed, but you have to honor it properly. Like, you have to steward it well, and you can't let it get to your head, whether you have one person listening to you or you have 1 million. Like, you can't let it get to your head. You always have to remember who it's about, and that the person that it's about is not you. Yeah. You always have to remember that, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's so true. And, like, in the same way, I've done that myself. Like, we're all like, it's like you said, it's not to be judgment. It's just more so like, that's our human nature. Like, our flesh wants to make it about us, when the whole point of the Bible is to make it about Christ. Like, this gospel is not necessarily about us. It's about a God who came. It's like, we're not the main character. God is the main character.
Right.
And our natural, like, flesh wants it to make it about us. And so, like you said, I've done that so many times. I've canceled things so many times. I've stopped doing things so many times. And that's why I feel like now, like, it's more critical than ever for each of us as believers to, like, truly, truly, truly have a solid identity in Christ. Like, if God is not our identity, if who God says, like, that's the point. Like, the problem is, like, if God said we're enough, but yet we're still doing something because we're trying to get that affirmation or approval from man, then that's like a really backwards picture. Because the truth is, God has already said that about us through his word. Like, it's all over there. When we give our lives to Christ, we're a new creation. We're approved. We're loved by God. And yet we do things to almost affirm things about ourselves that God has already told us. And so if that's the posture that we have going into doing things, then of course we're going to run into different issues spiritually, emotionally, relationally. It's just going to be a hot mess. And the only reason why I know that is because I've lived it. So
yeah, we're speaking from experience right now.
And what I love about David is, like you said, he was faithful. Like, he was faithful. And God knew this about David way before he was anointed as king, because his heart was already, God called him a man after his own heart. God said that he was the anointed one. God said that he was the chosen one. God said all these things about David way before David was anointed as king, because God's sovereign. He knows at the end from the beginning. He knew this about David. And so that's just like a prayer that I have. I'm like, Lord, my prayer is that you would be able to say that about me, that I am someone you can use, not because of what it will say about me, but because my heart is in the right place. And so it's like, that's, God really is a God of order. He's not a God of confusion. And in all this like passage, like, you just see the theme that keeps coming up to me today. Cause like we said, the word is alive and active. And it's like, so interesting, because in the past, there's been different themes that I would pull from this scripture, but today's theme for me is order. There's an order to everything. Like, there's an order in how there's sacrifice, then anointing, then appointing, but there's order in terms of like, why you're doing it. Like, is the order because it starts with God and you're now trying to like make God's love and God's name be known, or does it start with you? And like, the order of this really matters. Is it God, then you, then people, or is it you using God, manipulating the position that you want God to give you in order to get something that you want for yourself, which is still selfish? So it's like, Lord, help me.
That is so good. Not us manipulating our position, not us manipulating God. Like, no one wants to call it that, right? Like, we would never admit that.
You don't know. It truly is like, that's how the enemy likes to deceive us, because we think we're like doing it right. But when we really take our time and expose our hearts to God and say, like David, examine me, like, and test my anxious ways. Like, if there's anything in me that's not like you, clean me, like cleanse my heart. And I think I'm speaking for myself. I just feel like we as in Hannah needs to do a better job of submitting everything before the Lord and allowing him to examine it. Because if we're doing it with ulterior, sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it with ulterior motives, because we're almost like, there's an inefficiency that either life or an experience has created for us that only God can fill. And we are unaware that we are in need of a savior, that we are in need of a God that can heal, because we look for it through careers, people, affirmation, serving, church, whatever, all these other things that are not Christ. Not because it's like, that's just how you know it's like the enemy. The enemy's just crafty like that. He'll try to take what we think we know and twist it and make us think like we're doing it right, when really it's like, when God asks about it, don't look at the outward appearance, look at the heart.
Yeah, you're right. He will twist it to where we think that we're serving. Like, what could be wrong with that? Like, I'm insert whatever you're doing for the Lord. Like, you can think like, well, everything is good now, but we always have to check ourselves. And I think a part of that comes with taking time to pull away, sit with the Lord and ask him to show you areas of your heart. You know, like the scripture says, like, Lord, search my heart. Like, you know my thoughts, Lord, like, show me myself. And if you bow it, you can pray that prayer. You will be shown yourself. Like, yes, he will answer. True. He will answer. You'll be like, oh, that's me. Like, it's crazy, but that's how you grow, right? Like, that's how you become better. That's how you pull yourself out of those mindsets and out of those perspectives and make sure that you are always aligned and submitted under God's will and not trying to add him into your own stuff. Cause that's a hot mess. Like you said, we're speaking from experience. So please don't do that, y'all. We're begging you. Yeah. Please don't.
Yes. And I feel like the truth is, like, I feel like I just heard this just now, like, God's not looking for our perfection. He's looking for our honesty. Like, he's looking for us to be honest about, okay, maybe I got this wrong, God, but can you help me get this right? Like, And that just is, it's not so that we can be perfect. It's just to be more aware so that we can be aware of the areas in our lives that may not represent him and don't look like him. Because as believers, we're called to be and look like and sound like Christ. And so it really is just from awareness, like, okay, this doesn't look like you, God. Help me to help it look like you.
Yeah, I like the honesty of it all. And the thing is, we can be honest with God. We don't have to dress it up, tie it up with a bow, like just like it says in verse 7, like God sees the heart. He already sees it. So you might as well just be honest with him. And I think it's sometimes not God that's the hard person, like the person that it's hard to be honest with. It's hard for us to be honest with ourselves. It's hard for us to realize, like, to drop the facade, to pull them off the mask and you know, step away from the social media filter that we've given off and really be honest with ourselves. And like, these are areas that I need work in. Like, I know that that's a hard thing for me. You know, especially if you're in a position of ministry where you're normally helping others, you know, you're seeing their issues and stuff, but now it's like, I got to see my own stuff. Like, I need to deal with things in my own life. But that's the only way that you mature. That's the only way that the Holy Spirit sanctifies you and purifies you and refines you, is by those moments when you say, okay, I don't have it all together. Okay, I do need to step back a little bit. Let me address the situation. Let me analyze myself. Where am I in this process? Am I trusting the anointing? Am I stewarding it well? Am I living out my purpose to the best of my ability, right? Like, all these different questions that you can ask, but it's allowing ourselves to be open, to be transparent, and to be in a place of vulnerability. But that's where God can really do the best work in us, for sure.
Yeah, so true.
That is good stuff. So we have hit this story up and down, left and right. I definitely encourage y'all to continue to read. David's story goes on through the rest of 1st and 2nd Samuel, and you can read a lot of his stuff in the Psalms as well. That those are his own writings. But David is an amazing man of God. So much of scripture is about him. And actually, he was in the lineage of Jesus. And so this was a big deal that he was anointed by king. And there was so much more that was happening behind the scenes, just like Hannah said, that really sets up a lot of the rest of the Bible that we see. So this was really good, but I want to pivot just a little bit. So you got some new things out. I want to give you time to talk about it. You got a new book. Tell us about your new book.
Yes. Jesus's Bay was published back in 2018, I believe, but it's still like near and dear to my heart. That was like the first book I ever released. It's a 31-day devotional of how to basically be in a relationship with Christ, because Jesus is Bay. And so it's like a 4-week study where you're able to just learn more about how to communicate with God, how to, like we said, talk about those difficult areas that are hard to address, and how to even like have some fun dates to go on with Jesus, just to make it kind of cutesy and fun. But it's a 31-day devotional. You can purchase it on my website. It's hannahparam.com. And you can also grab the other book, which is called The Confessions Project. And that is also a personal family, not family, but a personal baby project for me, because I'm really, really passionate about speaking God's word over our lives. And I'm a firm believer in confessing the word over our lives. And so this is a 52-week devotional that will help you declare God's promises over your life. And it has a list of confessions to just speak over yourself every single day. It's a short teaching at the beginning of what it means and why you should confess the word of God, with a short devotional along for each week. So you can grab that also at my website at hannahparam.com. So I'm really excited. And like, we just launched a new website, so it should be user-friendly and funsies and cutesy for all my girlies out there who are looking to check it out. And I would really appreciate that. So yeah, those are a couple of things.
That's amazing. Congratulations on both of those books. And I definitely encourage y'all to go and check this out. I know that y'all enjoyed this conversation. And so imagine that, but in a book form just for you. So I definitely want y'all to encourage y'all to check that out. All the links are in the podcast notes and they're available for you. So click away, purchase away, shop away, do all the things. Check out the website, just like she mentioned. There's a lot of cool stuff there for you. But I want to, before I wrap this episode up, I want to thank you, Hannah, so much for being on this episode and for sharing all the amazing wisdom nuggets that you shared. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Yeah, it was. And I'm challenged. I'm walking away like, okay, I got to get my life together.
Same. I was like, whoo, that was not me. That was Holy Spirit. I'm like, I'm going right back to my Bible to read some more stuff
I'm
that
like, oh man, okay. But that's what the body of Christ does. We sharpen each other, we encourage each other. And you should leave from conversations challenged. You should leave with a different perspective on things. Like if y'all are hanging around people who don't challenge you and y'all just talk about the same stuff, the same soup, reheat it, I need you to find some new friends, okay? We're gonna pray for you to get some new people.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what community is all about. But we're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another week of Sunday School Stories. After you check out all the links for Hannah's website and her books, if you haven't, make sure you also follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop and on our website, ChristianGirlsPop.com. And if you have not, make sure you get your copy of my ebook, Scripture Made Simple, to be able to help you go through the Bible in a year or longer if you need time to be able to really understand scripture. Y'all, like, that's the whole point behind Sunday School Stories, behind the podcast that I did last year, behind all this stuff. It's all for you to be able to really understand God's word and what he is saying. So check out all of those things. All the links are in the notes below, and I definitely want to encourage y'all to tune in to next week's episode. It's gonna be a goodie. So I'm excited for y'all to stay along on this journey. Thank y'all so much for tuning in, and as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much just as you are right now. Don't you ever forget that. Bye, y'all.